What you are about to hear is a classic session of Where Should We Begin with Esther Perel. None of the voices in this series are ongoing patients of Esther Perel's, and each episode is a one-time counseling session. For the purposes of maintaining confidentiality, names and some identifiable characteristics have been removed, but their voices and their stories are real.
So, why did I, Trevor Noah, decide to do a podcast? I think this podcast gives me an opportunity to have the conversations that I've been having, just with other people able to listen in on them. Come to this podcast because you want to think. Come to this podcast because you want to have fun. Come to this podcast because you want to be challenged. Listen to What Now with Trevor Noah every Thursday on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
When we were in Gage, and when we got married, we made a promise to be parents and, you know, to create a family.
For her, she shared with me she didn't want to have kids until she met me. And that was really exciting and a great acknowledgement.
I had in my mind was like, I'm going to do this till I'm 45. And then if after 45, I'm not going to be as up for it because now I'm like heading towards 50.
We got pregnant, and we were like sharing, all so excited, and then we found out the embryo didn't form. So that was really, really disappointing for us.
He's wanted to be a father, you know, like since he was a little boy, and you know, and he just feels like maybe some regret of marrying an older woman, and maybe, you know, it might not work out for us.
I share with her that I was considering even possibly leaving her to find a woman that would want to have kids with me.
Then I was just like, well, how can we make this happen, you know, in a more creative way? And then the other day I had this insight where I was like, well, I would be totally supportive if he wanted to have a child with another woman.
Let me repeat to you what I'm hearing and tell me if I'm getting it, okay? We are together 9 years. We are married. We have a strong commitment to each other. We are at a moment where one of us very much wants to have children or a child. One of us has realized that that possibility may no longer be the case, even though there once was a shared desire about it. How can we stay together and honor your need to have a child and your need to no longer have a child?
Exactly.
That was exactly it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. A couple comes in with a story, and my goal in the first session is to see to what extent they can live with a different story. Because by the time people come in, there is an implicit agreement, a tacit agreement about what is okay to talk about and what is the unspoken. And people have coalesced around a narrative, a way of describing their life, their issues, their conflicts, their sorrows. But sometimes they actually become stuck there, and there's a whole other story that needs to be uncovered in order to really deal with the issues. And that's what's going to happen here.
This is Where Should We Begin with Esther Perel.
This is a transitional moment.
Yes. I think I would be an amazing mother, but there's just been something resonating for me, like, you know, like a very clear voice that says, I don't want to be a mother anymore. And then I recently had this sort of revelation in the, like, the possibility of, you know, opening our marriage and, you know, having a child with another woman, which was very inspiring to me. But that just feels like that's a big stretch. And
when we got married, or before, even before that, we were talking about, okay, the kind of the plan was we would get our partnership into firm foundation, have children, and then at that point, after a certain point after that, then start exploring.
And how did you receive this suggestion at first?
Shock, a bit of a shock. I mean, my first reaction when I said, I'm like, oh, that would be complicated. Communication would be a key. Yeah, it's like, I think those are the things I said when you
and
first.
And then you're like, would I support you all?
Yes, I support you all.
Mm-hmm. Financially.
Financially, yes. And that's another, that's another thing we're dealing with is financially we're on pretty loose footing right now. She hasn't been bringing money in for 5 months.
Yeah.
So money's really tight right now. So that's where that was like, okay, I'm having trouble supporting us. How mm-hmm. we support 3 + 1.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there is a conversation about wanting a child.
Yes.
There is a conversation about what it means to be a father.
Yes. Oh, yes.
There is a conversation about what it means to be a mother for a child that he would have with another woman. There is a conversation about the economics of family life.
Yes.
He'd had a conversation with me a little while ago where he shared how important it was to be a father. And I think I didn't realize how important it was. And that's when I wanted to see how can I be open to creating this? Because he just spoke the truth, like maybe he felt some regret marrying an older woman. Maybe, you know, we should separate so that he can do this. And I just really felt his pain. And I don't want to deprive him of something that's like a core value.
What was different about that conversation?
He was so vulnerable. It was, and how he shared that his father was so amazing, you know, that, you know, when he was little, he said he wanted to be a father, like the way his father was. And that really moved me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I knew, that I wanted to create something out of the box mm-hmm. because it was that moving.
Yeah, in that conversation, it, like I was really being with, you know, being with that desire and like okay, where did that come from? And then just like looking back in my childhood and just and how I idolized my father. It's like and how so many children out there are not given such great parenting. It's like I want and I know we'd be phenomenal parents. And I wanted to give that to somebody.
And the word that neither of you have used yet mm-hmm. is loss.
Loss.
If I wouldn't have the opportunity to be for someone else the way my father was for me.
Yes.
Loss that we wouldn't have the opportunity to share this experience together, mm-hmm. this mission. Loss that I wasn't able to give him something that was so important to him, mm-hmm. a child. Lost that I wasn't able to have my own child.
Mm-hmm.
Lost that you miscarried.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're talking about both.
Right.
Loss and creation mm-hmm. and conception.
I think that when I miscarried, I don't know if I really totally grieved it. And there is definitely a loss of, I feel a loss of like not, I mean, I think that's why I'm interested in doing it with another woman, because I still want to have that experience, but I think I have concerns of having a child, the energy it takes and what it can do to a relationship. And there's the part of me that kind of balks at that idea. But I do feel there has been times when I've been sad about the thought of us not having a family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does he know that?
I don't know. I don't think
he's shaking his head no.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. I do feel sad about that. I think I've just been trying to be positive and keep creating something else. Because I mean, really, I don't want to let you down and I don't want to lose you.
She has tried to deal with her loss by making it something that she didn't want. So that at least, that way she has some control over the experience. Instead of, I can't, it becomes, I don't want to. And so now it became more of a discussion about age appropriateness for conception, which is a complete aside. What she hasn't shared with him is the loss itself. So she's busy seeking alternatives, which are wonderful, all kinds of wonderful polyamorous possibilities. But these possibilities at this point can't graft, can't really anchor, because they're sitting on a foundation that can't absorb it. The foundation is a reactive foundation. She's trying to immunize rather than the foundation that can absorb a new idea and then spring into creativity. And so that's the alchemy that needs to happen in this session.
I kind of feel like a failure.
Yeah.
And I think I feel selfish, where I just want to have us.
Us.
So I get that, like, if you don't become a mom, that you'll feel like you're a failure. And that you grieve, occasionally grieve about the loss of being a mother.
But how does that make you feel? That's what I want to know.
How does it make me feel? It feels more real.
What is the it?
Sharing with your experiences. What you're going through, instead of putting on the happy face.
This is a couple that is actually highly attuned to each other. He repeats what he hears her say, he summarizes it, and they demonstrate a fluidity in a vocabulary that places feelings and emotions at the center. At the same time, because they are so attuned, they have actually inadvertently conspired together around a mistaken understanding of their central issue. We have to take a brief break. Stay with us.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Support for Where Should We Begin comes from Squarespace. Squarespace is an all-in-one platform that you can use to build a website and help people find your ventures. Whether you're seeking a location for your podcast, teaching language courses, or selling handcrafted ceramics, Squarespace has all the tools you need to create a home on the web. You can create a polished, professional place that connects people with whatever you are excited about. Squarespace also supports all forms of connecting with those people, whether you're selling products online or in person or offering memberships. You can make your website look exactly how you want it to be. They even have tools that help you create a custom logo. And they make it easy to create a place where people can schedule an appointment with you, browse your services, or learn more about why you do what you do. Visit squarespace.com/Esther for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use offer code Esther to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
My sense is that subconsciously I've been sensing that there's been something else there.
Maybe because if I can't have my own child, then I turn it into I don't want my own child.
Yeah.
And so you haven't given yourself the permission to say I want it too. You take the stance of I don't really want it, I passed the age, it's not, and all of this as if you don't feel legitimate. Since I can't have it, since I can't give it to him. You know, this is such an old expression, right? I can't give him a child. That's an entire cultural system right there.
Well, I feel like I could give him a child through adoption. Mm-hmm. You know, we could do that. Mm-hmm. I just, when I think about it, and it will probably take like 2 years to happen. And then by that point, I'll even be older. And that just sort of overwhelms me to think of having a baby when I'm almost 50.
On the other end, you've gotten a few more things done in life, and you're more available, and you're more mature, mm-hmm. and you've done harder things
yes.
than changing a diaper.
I think that because I mother so much in my life, mm-hmm. like I am just known as a mother figure in all my communities, that I think I haven't really felt the loss because I feel like I get so much mothering.
Expressed
like daily. And so, I think that is.
I believe you, but I don't.
I think that covers up that sadness.
Shall we say so?
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
I'm willing to.
You're wonderfully attuned to each other. It's like each of you translates the other person's feeling in a very immediate way. I believe that it's wonderful for you to parent like that, to mother like that, but I agree with him that part of you, because you cannot have your own child in a natural way, feels that there is something deficient and that does not allow you anymore, therefore, to be sad. And to experience the loss for what it is, then you'll have loads of options.
Uh-huh.
A child you will have, if a child you want. It just won't happen from the place that you originally imagined.
That's okay.
Let yourself feel that.
I haven't really let myself go there.
Go there now.
What are you sorry for?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I guess. I didn't do what I said I would do.
I'm sorry I didn't give you a child?
Yeah. I didn't give you a child. I'm sorry that I changed my mind. I'm sorry.
But you didn't change your mind. You changed your mind as a way to not feel so sad over something that you don't control. And so if it becomes a decision, it becomes less a matter of biology and fate and nature and more a matter of choice. I mean, there are women who decide not to have children, but that's not your story. This is a front. You fell for this, mister? Yes, he actually did. She managed to convince herself and you. When you were unemployed, you put this entire project on hold. Why?
Well, I didn't feel safe. I didn't feel safe for us to really go for it when we were in such a precarious
financial situation.
Yeah. I mean, it was like the womb is closed.
Yes.
You know.
You said that.
And I said that. I was like, you have to get a job before we go there. Because I was so scared. And then when we had some more security, then we tried. Mm-hmm. And it actually happened. But that one wasn't viable. And I think I was really brokenhearted. I didn't expect it, that it wouldn't be viable.
One of the consequences of the advances of technology is assisted reproduction and contraception. Never before could we stop pregnancy nor artificially create pregnancy. And that, in a world where people are so much into their own choices and decision-makings and freedom and possibilities, has led a lot of people to think that it's all in their hands and that it will happen when they're ready. And we have lost a little bit touch with the forces of nature, that they often decide for us, and they decide with a force that we cannot resist.
I didn't think that would happen to me.
Because you've always imagined yourself fertile.
Or more than
pregnant woman.
It's more than I'm used to getting what I want.
I was going to add that one, but I thought I should put the other ones first.
No, I'm really used to getting what I want. Right. And I mean, I had said I want to be pregnant, you know, by Burning Man, which was the end of August. And we got pregnant. I was like, oh,
look at this.
Right on track. And then
nobody ever told you that if you want to make God laugh, you should tell him your plan? And that if you think that you can control things that we don't control, when it doesn't happen, the fall is bigger?
I think I've gotten arrogant with my expectations. And I do feel very humbled.
Welcome to Common Mortals. But also, welcome to a different story. Because the way you've begun to look at this is, he wants children, I don't. But I don't want to deprive him. So I have to think creatively how I can make that happen for him. And that's off. We want children. It hasn't happened the way and the timing that we hoped for. We need to rethink how we can have children together. And what is feasible for us, given our age, given our economic situation, given our values, etc.
It's more creation rather than reaction.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
She has a very astute insight into her own process, which is that what seemed to be creation was in fact reaction. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I came here thinking this was going to be all about getting him ready to like go for my creative idea, but then realizing the joke is actually it's me.
I'm glad you caught that. That is exactly where we are.
Yes.
I am glad we are editing the story because it was off and not true, not honest. That doesn't mean that you may not make a decision or make a choice, but not because you don't feel legitimate to your grief or to what you consider is you're failing him. You know, when you say, I'm sorry, I deserve for you to go elsewhere because I'm not worthy, is what you're really saying. That is not about polyamory, and that is not a creative idea. That has nothing to do with that.
Right.
It's unacknowledged grief.
Yeah.
You know, unrecognized grief, that's first and foremost. Then you...
Then we can start.
Then you can start brainstorming zillion ideas.
Yeah.
And now we can begin to make space for some of these innovative ideas as such, rather than them being pain prevention strategies. There are enough children who need to be parented and who need a family and a safe harbor, and there are a lot of people who are looking for someone to have a child with. But before any of that can happen, you have to change this notion, I came here, you know, to prevent him from leaving me and to see that what I'm offering him is because I have to make up for what I can't give him. You are not responsible alone for this. These are things that are part of the life of a couple. We are in the midst of our session, and there is still so much to talk about. We need to take a brief break, so stay with us.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal cereal? Is it a tasty sugary snack? Nope, it's the dog.
Can I ask you something?
Mm-hmm.
I have a sense that your wife needs to hear from you, that she's not lesser.
Yes.
Because she can't have a child with you, or at least not as of now in the ways that you're going about it. And yeah. She's not able to believe in that enough on her own.
You're totally not less than, my love. Just because we haven't had a biological child yet. I can be compassionate about biologically, that's can come up, can be perceived as a failure, and societally can be perceived as a failure, especially when your mom doesn't have a great child yet.
I just want to know what you feel.
Hmm?
I just want to know what he feels.
Okay, because he's just talked about your mother and about you, and the next thing is going to be the neighbor. Put yourself in the list.
I just feel like you're not... I feel like you're talking around something and not being straight with me.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. It is a disappointment, and it is a loss. I don't feel mad at you or upset at you or anything because it hasn't happened yet. It's the way it is.
But don't you like wish? Like?
Yes.
I mean, when you said that you had regret marrying an older woman, I think that really hurt me.
My crazy thoughts.
You have regret marrying me?
No. I have no regrets. I'll let that thought go. I can't imagine not living without my life without you. I can't. There's just so much there. So much more. I'm sorry that I hurt you when I said that.
Say more. Because that's the question she's been holding. Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming from my frustration, my sadness.
Tell me more about that.
The frustration of trying, putting attention on it, and the frustration of being unemployed for 2 years and, like, feeling that... didn't like do enough was enough to like have that, like when the time was like optimal to not be able to generate it and give you the safety that you were asking for.
I don't think I knew what that was like for you at that time.
It's like each of you feeling a crisis that you can't provide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't provide economic security. You can't provide children, fertility. And each of you wondering, am I not enough?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think these 2 years of unemployment were extremely significant. Was your father ever unemployed?
No, never. And that's been a struggle, like, because I was feeling like to them, I'm not worth it to them. Like, they failed, and I failed them.
Say more. How is your father when you were struggling with work? How was he? Was he there for you? Were you afraid to tell him I'm not making it? I'm scared? I have to get up every morning and look for work. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't know if I can have a child because I can't be a father, because if I'm not a provider, I have no legitimacy to fatherhood.
Like, I'm just remembering when you were last laid off and we didn't tell your parents for months.
Yes.
because you were scared.
I didn't tell my parents that I was laid off because instead of getting their sympathy, I would get their worry. Then I would have to reassure them about the very thing that I myself am worried about.
It was like the worrying, why don't you do this, why don't you do that? Do, 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 do. Like the literal dialogue is like my parents said, oh, why don't you go back to engineering stuff? You're good at that. And I feel like if I went down the path that they're telling me to do, that I'm going to, it's like part of my soul will get killed off. I'm not doing that.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Is that what your dad did?
Probably, at least partially, I would say.
You do what you have to do, but if you happen to like it on the way, you're lucky, and otherwise that's life?
Yeah, that's the conversation. Like, if you like along the way, then that's like a bonus. Like, they're like, why don't you go where the jobs are? Keep moving around the country. I'm like, no, I'm staying put. This is my home.
And he moved 17 times.
A bunch of times they did, yes.
With you?
Yes.
And you think that was part of why you moved so many times? Because he moved to where the jobs were? You've never even asked yourself that question. Sacrifice means you don't put yourself first.
Yeah, don't put yourself first, yeah.
So they think you're
putting myself first.
And you say it's not vanity, it's sheer survival.
Yes.
Of the soul.
Yes. And I've seen them, like, they don't have community where they are, where they've been. I mean, they miss that. I think they've gotten resigned about that. It's like, I don't want that for myself.
But while you have an answer for everything they say, inside of you, you speak to yourself like they do. There's a leak.
The leak, yes.
Mm. And you get pissed?
Yes, oh yeah.
I sense it.
Yeah, it's like, leave me alone.
Something like that. Mm-hmm.
Like feeling attacked.
And what do you think is the hidden message? What's the matter with you?
Yes.
And you think there's a second message where he wonders, where have I failed?
Sure, that's underneath it, yeah.
And none of this has ever been exposed?
No.
You've never said, I need your support rather than your
criticism.
Mm-hmm. And they would say, we're not criticizing, we're trying to be supportive?
Yeah.
You're misinterpreting. And you would say, you make me feel, or I feel,
yeah,
judged and ashamed.
Yes, judged and ashamed, yeah.
That you can't be proud of me.
Yes.
Is that those words are yours, or those are my words? What are yours?
They not proud of me. Like I failed them.
And you feel the same toward her? You felt the same toward her when you were not working?
Yeah. I felt that I wasn't enough. For you, for us, for the potential child.
What we get here is an insight, an entry into one of the most archaic cultural legacies about manhood and masculinity. You're being a material provider. Your ability, your self-worth is determined by your capacity to take care of your family. Men have been known to commit suicide when they no longer could be the provider. The shame or the pride that is wrapped around that aspect of their identity as men carries across so many cultures and throughout history.
I'm super frustrated.
you get pissed at yourself?
Yes.
You are expressing the oldest stories of men, and you are expressing the oldest stories of women. I'm not enough because I'm not providing materially, and I'm not enough because I'm not providing children. You thought you were progressive.
Yes.
If I don't provide for you,
yeah,
you shouldn't stay with me. What kind of a man am I? If I can't give you children, you shouldn't stay with me. What kind of a woman am I? This is the subtext of what you are both saying to each other. This is a new thought for you?
Yeah, like on the conscious level.
Then I want you to make it more conscious. Put this in your own words now.
Like I'm not man enough to provide for myself and for you and for a child. Like I'm failing as a man.
So now he has a question for you that he's not asking, which is the same one that you asked him before.
Do you still want to be with me? Despite all of that?
Yes. You're the man I want to be with. You're good enough. You're an amazing provider. I would never leave you.
Let yourself take that in.
I love you.
You love me.
You're good enough.
I'm good enough.
You're more than good enough.
I'm more than good enough.
You see, the more you talk, the more you are making a crack in his self-critical shield. And from that place, you're going to talk about how you want to have a child. From the place in which you both know that you're there for each other and going to be with each other when you can't conceive or when you can't provide.
It's kind of a nice empty space.
Yeah.
How is this conversation?
It's good to have it be clarified. Today helped me see that I had a hidden conversation of grief and not being enough that I can now give voice to and to share about it and to allow myself to feel the grief when it comes up versus trying to just fix it. Because I don't want to create what's next on top of that, you know, because as a partnership, we cannot, you know, co-parent with someone else with those two conversations happening.
Or either of those conversations happening.
Either. And I think the value of today was you uncovered something we weren't even looking at on both sides. You know, we were both looking to compensate. So it just gives us a lot of clarity.
Your transition to parenthood has started. It's easy to imagine that the transition to parenthood starts when people expect a child. But in fact, the transition to parenthood begins when one starts the process of expanding one's identity. When I say to them, a child you will have if a child you want, it is something that I learned in working with a lot of couples who were struggling with infertility. Because the hopefulness of having children is that you can bring a child into your life. You may not bring your child that is biologically yours, genetically yours, that even you give birth to, but you can raise a child. You may have to go through a series of mourning processes and grieving and acceptance of opportunities that you won't have, but that then open the door to other opportunities that you hadn't considered. It may not be your biological child. It may not even be your genetic child, but it will be a child you will raise for whom you will be the parent.
You just heard a classic session of Where Should We Begin with Esther Perel. We are part of the Vox Media Podcast Network in partnership with New York Magazine and The Cut. To apply with your partner for a session on the podcast, for the transcripts or show notes on each episode, or to sign up for Esther's monthly newsletter, go to estherperel.com. Esther Perel is the author of Mating in Captivity and the State of Affairs. She also created a game of stories called Where Should We Begin? For details, go to her website, estherperel.com.
Support for Where Should We Begin comes from MasterClass. MasterClass offers classes from over 180 world-class instructors. Frank Gehry can teach you about his unconventional approach to design and architecture. Margaret Atwood can help you develop your eye for story. Or you can take my own course. My class is about relational intelligence, how you connect with others, how you improve your communication skills, develop more empathy, build better boundaries, and find clearer resolution for conflict. Right now, you will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/begin. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/begin. masterclass.com/begin.
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Cult Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within art, beats, and lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.